here right into our lesson for tonight. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that could help us understand the thoughts of God, escort us into the supernatural so that we can see or understand those things better that God has planned for us. Thank you for Apostle Thompson and his vision for this training center. Thank you for the students that are here present in Darrell and those that are watching online and those that will be watching online. Jesus, thank you for putting us in this position that we can sit at the feet of our Father and understand his words and even receive his word and allow his words to benefit our lives. It's because of the price that you paid, Jesus, that we're able to do this. So we're forever grateful to you, Jesus, for the shedding of your blood and the remission of sins. We give you all the honor, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Last week, we began to talk about honorable men and women in the house. And we began to talk about those that choose covenant. Last week, I went over a little bit about the apostolic, understanding the apostolic, understanding that the apostolic or an apostle or anybody functioning in the apostolic anointing is only concerned about heaven to earth government structure, which opens the portals of the supernatural to be open. All right. And so that causes us to have to adjust sometimes our feelings. It has sometimes, listen a minute, it causes us sometimes to adjust our thinking. And so now we talked about last week how we don't really want empathy. We don't want sympathy. We want answers. And the only way God provides answers is in the supernatural. Matter of fact, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Second Corinthians, the 10th chapter, I think it's third verse. We'll start there. Very familiar scriptures, very familiar to you. But these two verses gives us the answer or gives us the location. Better yet, gives us the location for all of our answers, all of our issues, all of our circumstances, all of our things that we're dealing with. It gives us these answers. Verse 3, watch this. Watch what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. Other words, very simple. Our fighting is not done in the flesh. So if our fighting is not done in the flesh, that means our answer will not come out of the flesh. So that means our answer will not come by people giving us sympathy. Our answer would not come by even people empathizing with us, because those things are flesh in nature. Sympathy is flesh in nature. It's when somebody, you know what sympathy is, somebody feeling sorry for you. Or even sometimes people empathize. Empathize means they went through what you've gone through and understand what you've gone through. But I really don't want your empathy if you hadn't gone through the situation properly. I don't need you just understanding or identifying with me. I need answers. So it says, though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Watch what it says. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not, if they're not carnal, then they have to be spiritual. Which means if they're spiritual, their origin happens in the supernatural. So if I can't find a portal into the supernatural, then I'm going to be stuck in the flesh. The only way I can get into the supernatural is if I'm led into the supernatural. If there's a structure for me to get into the supernatural. There was a structure for Adam to get into the supernatural. There was a structure for Eve to get into the supernatural. They decided not to abide by that structure. So God said, okay, no problem. You don't have to abide by this, but you can't stay here. See, there has to be a structure in place for us to access the supernatural. Every miracle you see take place in the Bible, there was a structure that was in place to open the portals of the supernatural. When Jehoshaphat, the five armies coming against him, Jehoshaphat, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet Jehazel. That's structure. That's God's government. God's coming through his fivefold office. Why? To open up a portal into the supernatural. What opened up that portal to the supernatural? When Jehazel gave them instructions and Jehoshaphat made the people follow the instructions. It opened the portal into the supernatural. Jehazel could have easily been there as the pastor of a 21st century church, today's church, and said, oh, Lord, we got five armies coming against us. Lord, what we going to do? I feel so sorry for y'all. What's going to happen to us? Ain't no telling what's going to happen to us. That is not what he did. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, and he began to prophesy. Then Jehoshaphat turned around and said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. No sympathy, no empathy. All we need is a portal of the supernatural open to where God can invade our lives in the natural. Is this making sense? No matter, look, the children of Israel were in bondage for 400 years. God spoke to Moses. His divine order, his divine structure, his government, his heaven and earth structure. Moses walked in and was not concerned about the children of Israel. God was concerned about the children of Israel. Moses was only concerned about doing what God called him to do. What happened? The portals of the supernatural were open. When those portals were open, the children of Israel went free. The Red Sea was open. God fed them. Are you seeing this? Again, when God wanted to give them the land of Jericho, again, we see there has to be structure. The structure was Joshua. Joshua had to get instructions. Matter of fact, God had to get Joshua straight because Joshua came in and the angel of the Lord came to Joshua. Joshua wanted to get up on the angel and say, who you with? Angel said, I ain't with you nor them. I'm with the Lord. Now what you going to do? Heaven to earth, government structure. Even God had to tell Joshua, I'm not really concerned about who are you with? I know, the angel said, I know who I'm with. I'm in line. Now, are you going to get in line and have the portals of the supernatural to be open? Every time you see a miracle happen in the Bible, it started off with a structure, heaven and earth structure that allowed the portals of the supernatural to be open. This is making sense. I want you to see this because I'm so tired of people getting their feelings hurt when leadership changed directions. When God speaks to leadership and they change directions, it's not up to us to try to decipher or not whether it's God. If you have any doubts about it being God, why are you here? Are you seeing this? See, once again, I'm back to this. This is why you have to make sure you connect to somebody that has fruit. Not somebody claiming to be, but somebody who is and has proof to show it. Hope you listen to that, Internet. Because if we want the portals of the supernatural to be open, because we just read in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, that even though we walk after the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. For the weapons, another word for weapons is answers. The answers to the battles that we're fighting are not in the natural. They're not carnal. They're not going to originate in your mind. It may pass through your mind, but it's not going to originate in your mind. It's going to originate in the supernatural. So we've got to have a structure in place that causes portals to be open. See, the heavens are not always open. They're not always open, but they can be open. See, I ain't got no problem with a door being shut as long as I know how to open that door. I don't mind a door being shut as long as I can get the key to open that door anytime I need it to be open. Are you seeing this? So there has to be structure, heaven to earth. Notice I didn't say earth to heaven. I know I'm repeating myself, But I need to stress this because as we go on further in this chapter, we're going to begin to see different things that we have to do that helps fortify the structure. See, there are things that we do to help strengthen that structure. See, once a structure is created, it has to be strengthened. It's no good for an engineer to have a bridge in place on paper and don't have the metal to build it. That bridge makes no sense. If you can have all, you can have all the structure, all everything together, but if there's nothing to fortify it, nothing to build on, nothing to cause it to stand, all of it on paper means nothing. So we do have heaven and earth government structure, but there are we the people that help fortify the structure. Is this making sense? So back to what I was saying we left off last week. You must choose covenant. That's one of the ways you strengthen the heaven and earth structure. You must choose covenant. It can't be nothing that's forced on you. The greatest characteristic in the apostolic is willingness. I can't stress that enough. Right now we have an LTMA, the apostle asked us and made a demand on us to report our prayer times and to report our scripture readings. We have a certain scripture that we're reading, a certain chapter we're reading every morning, and a certain time we have to pray. He's making a demand on us. Now, he can't make us do it, but we have to be willing. See, the strength of the apostolic and the strength of covenant is willingness. All right, why are you going to marry somebody that don't want to marry you? Huh? You can tell in a minute, oh, she don't be bothered with me. I ain't got time for her. Or he don't be bothered me. I ain't got time for him. Willingness. If there's no willingness, then we can stop right there and move on. We can stop this right here. See, it makes no sense to join yourself to somebody and you always won't do the opposite. The Lord said go this way. You say, well, I feel the Lord lead me this way. Well, then why attach yourself to somebody going away from where God told you to go if that's the case? Are we seeing this? You must choose covenant. It cannot be anything that's forced on you. Listen to that, internet. It can't be anything that is forced on you. It has to be a quality choice that you make. I want to do this. If ye be what? Willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Willing. Not just obedient. Willing. Are you getting this? I want this to sink in because, now watch this. God has nothing to do with your willingness. God has nothing to do with your willingness. You have to be willing. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Because if God controlled your willingness, that means you're just a puppet now. That means you really don't have a choice. Romans, the 12th chapter, very first verse. Apostle Paul talking. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is the least you can do. You have to present your body. In other words, I'm emphasizing willingness. God is not going to force you to present your body, or he's not going to force you to be in covenant, or he's not going to force you to connect. He's not going to force you to come in covenant. You have to be willing. You can't be drug along. See, when you drag something, it gets all dirty. That means they're fighting against you. You don't want to drag nothing. You want to lead. That means That means when a person is being led or we're being led, that means we're willing. Do you realize that when we're being led rather than dragged, momentum picks up quicker? Think about that. If I do something, if I'm going willingly, that means that's less energy that the engine has to pull me along. See, that's what this prayer accountability is doing for LTMA. It's causing that apostle to have to pull the whole load. We're willingly getting in there with him. Are you seeing this? You have to choose covenant. It can't be something forced on you. It can't be a demand that you don't want to do. It has to be something that you want. Now, watch this. Now, your willingness sometimes will cause you to run in things that you didn't want to run into. Sometimes your willingness will cause you, for instance, here we go, working out. People got willingness, they go work out until they hit that treadmill, hit that 15th minute. Whether you're running or walking, and you like your body screaming, is howling, telling you your feet, your body telling you everything. Your feet hurt, your ankles hurt, your knees hurt. You're not even on your shoulders, but your shoulders hurt. But you were willing, right? But that willing does not mean that you're not going to face anything that you didn't want to face. Is that making sense? Number two, we must be willing to go to battle for those we're in covenant with. Those gentlemen that joined themselves to David in 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, they were willing to go to battle for David. Now, one of the things, listen to me today, one of the things that's very key for this, a lot of people don't realize this. They think a lot of this stuff, you got to be, I don't believe in this word, so I can use it. Super spiritual. I don't believe in this super spiritual. I just believe in being spiritual. But you got some people think got to be super spiritual. You know what super spiritual is? Super spiritual is when I got to convince you that I'm spiritual. So I got to have outer showings. I have outer behavior trying to prove to you that I'm spiritual. That's super spiritual. You know, being in covenant is not really being super. It's not. You don't have to be super spiritual to be in covenant. Do you know why those guys joined themselves to David in that cave of Adullam? Let's think about it. Let's think about why they joined themselves to David. It's very simple. Why they joined themselves to David. God may have spoke to them. Yeah, that's fine. God may have given them a vision, may have given them a dream, and they're supposed to follow and all that good stuff. But let me tell you the real reason why they joined themselves to David. David was the one who killed Goliath. Their whole nation. What would make them, watch this, what would make them turn their backs on their current king and join themselves to David? Unless David has done something to show them that God was on his side. Are you seeing this? So you must be willing to go to battle, meaning that before I'm willing to go to battle for you, I got to see fruit. That's why you can't be joining yourself just to in everybody. You have to make sure that if they say God told them to do something, you got to, okay, God told you to do it. Let's see what God told you to do. And once some of what God told you to do prove out, then I'm more apt to hear God when he say, help you. See, some of y'all are super spirits. Y'all think y'all got to have a vision, and you think you got to have, you know, the angel of the Lord come down in the night watching and open in broad vision and say, thus said the Lord, you need to be connected. It was very simple for them guys who they was all in trouble in the cave, and they decided to make David a captain over them. Why? Because David was the very one that walked into that camp when Goliath was making all those threats. David, the one, walked in there and took Goliath's head off. Now, mind you, now God helped him, but how else were they going to see God? They say God is with David. So if God is with David, we need to join ourselves to David. Once you see, this is why I can't understand. I can't understand. This is another example of super spiritual. Here it is, super spiritual. Watch this. A man or woman of God helps you get from the bottom to where you are now, and now you where you are, and now you figure that God can talk to you without needing them. Are you seeing this? This is the very person that was praying with you, praying for you, stood with you. And all of a sudden, you're not willing to go to battle for him. You're not willing to go to battle for him. See, that's what I mean by strengthening the heaven to earth government structure. Willing to go to battle. What you believe in, I believe in. What you stand for, I stand for. What you pulling for, I pull for. That's what those guys did with David in that cave of Adullam. Those guys began to join themselves. They brought their talents. They brought their giftings. They brought their intelligence. They brought everything they had with them and was willing to go to battle for David. Are you seeing this? Third, those who become part of the strategy. You must be willing to become part of the strategy. See, this is why Dr. Thompson, him and I were just discussing the other day. Gone are the days where he's gone hip-hop to all these churches. Gone are the days where we've gone all over the country and all over the world trying to, you know, disperse this anointing of money cometh. Forget that. We ain't doing that no more. There are books written. There are tapes written. There are CDs written. If you're not willing to pay the price to see what God is doing with Dr. Thompson's life, then read the book and do it yourself. See, when somebody, watch this, when somebody's not willing to join what God is doing, whether it's in your life or if you're not willing to join what God is doing in somebody else's life, it's key. They don't want to be part of your strategy, which is cool. They could be on the fringe, on the outside. They could be on the outside. Ain't no problem. But I know you. I know where you're at. I know where you are. Are you seeing this? There was those prophets. Those prophets that made fun of Elisha because he wanted to follow Elijah. Now, they all was prophets, but Elisha wanted something deeper. It was okay for the mother ones to be prophets, but they kept their distance. That's okay. You can keep your distance, but if you want what Elijah had, Elijah told Elisha something. He asked Elisha, Elisha, what you want from me? Elijah said, well, I want a double portion of your anointing. Now, watch this. Everybody who reads this passage get this misunderstood. They thinking because Elisha saw Elijah go up that he got the double portion. If you go back and get the Hebrew of, he said, if you see me, what he really was saying was, if you understand why I got this and how I got this, which is not just a one-sight situation. It just wasn't him seeing go up in that whirlwind that he was able to get that double portion. It was him had been spending time with him all those years. See, because that's the case, then how many people, why we just don't walk in to your pastor or my pastor or my apostle, your apostle, why would you walk in there and anointing jump on us? I mean, if that's what that scripture meant, if that's what that passage meant, then we have a president that we can hold God for. We can hold up to God and say, God, as soon as I step in those doors, I'm supposed to be anointed just like them. He said, if you see me before I go, if you see me, other words, if you understand me, if you see, listen to me, if you see why God is using me, what's his purpose for using me, how I attained this, what price I paid for this, if you can see that, if you can understand it and grab hold of it, you can get a double portion. God had no problem giving Elijah a double portion because he was willing, Elisha a double portion because he was willing to attach himself to the strategy of Elijah. So much to the point that the first thing Elijah did after he smoked on water and walked across, there were some men that said, we knew a man. They even call him by name. We knew a man that poured water on the hands of Elijah. Didn't even know his name. Are you willing to get that lost in somebody else's strategy? Number four, you must be ready to risk your life for their dreams. Go to Acts, the fourth chapter. What do I mean by lay down your life? Everybody say you got to die? All it's saying is you must be willing to lay down your agenda. What you want to do. How you think God's supposed to use you. You have to be willing to lay those things down. Watch what they do in Acts, the fourth chapter. Watch this. Acts the fourth chapter, verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Now I want you to see something. I want you to see something here. He says, the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This man had land. Watch this. I want you to see something here because I just saw this. He was a Levite. He was of a priestly generation. He was already established. Had some things going in his favor. But when he saw what God was doing with Peter, he took what was gained to him through being a Levite, a part of the Leviticus priesthood, took it, sold it, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Are you seeing this? This man was in ministry. But when he saw the agenda of God on Peter's life, he said, forget what I've been doing. This man's going to do more. I want to help him do what he's doing. Are you seeing this? Barnabas poured out everything he had and laid it at the apostles' feet because he believed, listen to this, he believed in God's purpose and assignment for Peter. Then it came to pass, came about when the Holy Spirit had need of someone in Antioch, guess who they came got? Did we make this statement? No, we haven't made this statement because I don't think we got this chapter yet. I read this book about 5, 6, 7, 8 times. So one of the statements that this apostle makes is that son sow all now to reap in the future. Listen what happened to Barnabas. Barnabas sold what he had and laid at the apostles' feet. When it came time for him to go to Antioch, they chose him and put everything they had behind him. Are you seeing this? God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My God. Number five. This is a very important one. Because this one right here It's the one that caused the heaven to earth government structure to be in shambles. This one right here. This one right here. We must learn to exercise authority with accountability. Other words, when we're under leadership and we're given authority, the authority should only be used to accomplish why we were given the authority. You see this? The authority shouldn't be used for no other reason, which means you have to self-check yourself. That's what it has to be with accountability. Before I do this, I've been given this authority. Before I do this, is this going to enhance the structure or is it going to take away from the structure? Is it going to make the structure weaker or is it going to make the structure stronger? See, I must have authority with accountability. Sometimes our pastors will give us a project or give us an assignment or give us leadership over some people. We can't use that leadership to promote ourselves. See, that's why this. We can't use that leadership. This is why you have to be first willing. You have to choose covenant. See, all these things building up, you have to choose covenant. Because when you choose covenant and you say, I'm willing to sacrifice my life for this strategy. I'm willing to sacrifice my life for this person. When you do that, then you're given authority and you don't have in your mind, how can this benefit me? More church splits, more denominations are started because of this right here. People with authority with no accountability. They take the authority and use it for their own personal benefit. Watch this. Go to Luke, the 7th chapter. Very familiar scripture, verse 8. See, our pastors are looking for people to help them. To help them move further in the apostolic. The question is, can you be trusted? Can I be trusted? It would be, Dr. Thompson just went through Word of Life, just was going through Word of Life the last couple of weeks and said, hey, those that ain't tithing, they got to come off the auxiliary. They got to come off. What tithing got to do with it? All right, what tithing got to do with it? Okay, go to Matthew 6 chapter. Go to Matthew 6 chapter. I'm glad y'all asked. Go to Matthew 6 chapter. Watch this now. Watch this. And I love it because it's written in red. It's written in red. You can't skirt around this. You can't dance around this. You can't bypass this because it's written in red. The reason why tithing is so important is this right here. Matthew, the 6th chapter, 21st verse. Now, I want you, before you read it, see what color is written in. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if you ain't tithing, that means you don't have any heart there either. You can use that principle. You can use that particular verse in every area of your life. You can use that on your job. If they're giving this next person over here more raises than what they're giving me, and I'm doing the same amount of work, they love them more than they love me. I need to be moving on. That's a general, that's GP, general principle. Not general purpose, a general principle. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, that will be your heart be also. So if you ain't tithing, now why is that so important? Listen, I'm glad Apostle Thompson is beginning to deal with money and money cometh during this next year on a more apostolic and deeper way, because we have got to understand that some people get, once again, they get super spiritual. Listen, in this earth realm, in the natural, money runs stuff. People make decisions based on money. People live in certain places because of money. Are you seeing this? So Jesus, this ain't nothing Jesus didn't understand. Jesus understood this. Why? Because money, watch this, money represents us in the natural, who we are. It's your sweat, blood, and tears by which you got that money. Even if you sold for it, You're the one took the risk and sold it. So when you get your harvest back in, you ain't too apt to let it go anywhere too fast. Which is right. Jesus understood this. Jesus understood, that's why he said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. See, that's all other super spiritual people that try to ignore that fact that money is not important. Money is important. You want to find a person love you? See how much they spend on you. Is this making sense? So, we have to have authority with accountability. If you're not tithing, your heart is not already there. And so if you get authority, you're going to use it for yourself. That's why Jesus sat by the treasury. Jesus wanted to find out all these others talking about they love God. Let's really see. Because that's going to let me know whether I need to give them any authority or not. Go back to Luke. 7th chapter. See, this is not hard. A lot of times because we try to be super spiritual, we try to put super spiritual in front of principles. Other words, we try to put being super spiritual in front of structure. Listen, God's power never overrides his authority. God's power never gets in front of his authority. His authority always shows up first, then his power shows up. See, a lot of times we want his power to show up before his authority. So in other words, we want his power to be there with no structure. He told Adam and Eve, y'all can have anything y'all want on the earth in the garden. Just don't touch this tree. As long as they adhere to that government structure, don't touch this tree, they can have anything they want. And guess what? They was free as they could ever be. Now watch this. It's not the fact that God was trying to keep the tree from them. He wanted to teach them about the tree at his pace. It's not that he wanted to keep them away from evil. They was going to have to face evil. But God said, let me expose you to evil under my covering. Therefore, you can face it with power because you faced it because I provided structure. Are you seeing this? See, God's power, I'm going to say this again, God's power will never be in front of his authority. Nowhere in the Bible can you find his power before you find his authority. Every time you see his power Read around and read a little bit above that, you're going to see his authority. You're going to see his government structure in place. Why is that? That has to be because power without authority will be abused. That's what Satan wanted. Satan wanted power without structure. He wanted to be God. I said, no, you can't, this ain't gonna happen. So now what he gotta do? He gotta go around being a counterfeit. Counterfeit. So what his major game is taking our power and using it against us. And the only way, God, thank you, Holy Spirit. The only way Satan can use our power against us is when we don't want to adhere to God's authority. So we have to be people who exercise accountability with authority. We got a few more minutes. We must be the ones that are willing to lift our leaders up to another stature. We have to be willing to raise them up to another stature in the supernatural. One of the reasons why David became so effective is because he had those men backing him up. He had people that believed in what God had called them to do. Jesus was effective because he had 12 disciples that became, well, 11. One dropped off. They picked up another one. They became apostles, those that helped, that began to help structure heaven and earth government. Excuse me. On the foundation that he had laid. So now, in today's world, Jesus has been lifted up to another supernatural stature because he had men and women that were willing to lift him up to that stature. As a scripture, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. See, we have to be willing to, our leaders, lift them up to another stature in the supernatural so that the same thing that's happened in our lives can happen in the lives of others. So watch this. For us at Word of Life, it's important. It is imperative. It is the utmost importance that we prosper. Why? When we prosper, we lift the prophetic anointing, the apostolic anointing, up to another level. So apostle looks back and he's doing it and he can do it with some people. Look back and say, look, the word is working. Are you seeing this? David was in the position to where he could become king easily because he had people that were supporting him and willing to lift him up to another supernatural status, another supernatural stature. In Isaiah 6 chapter, the first verse, you don't turn there, but Isaiah couldn't see the Lord until King Uzziah died. See, if we have, sometimes you have people blocking us from seeing what God wants us to be. So we have to get rid of those unhealthy connections that stops us from being where we need to be so that we ourselves can be lifted up to another supernatural stature. See, every time, listen, those guys that joined themselves to David, those same guys were with David, helped building a temple. David put in his billions, they put in their millions. They joined themselves to David, and as they lifted David up, David, it's like reverse gravity, he began to lift them up. See, God has his thing structured. He has it structured. So Satan, his whole goal is to nitpick at the structure. If he can nitpick at the structure, he can hold everything down. See, even in Jesus' ministry, he tried to nitpick at the structure with Judas. But Satan don't realize, according to 1 Corinthians 2 I think it's verses 7, 6, might be 6, 7, and 8. God was using Judas to set Jesus up. So even though, watch this, so even though Judas was being used to betray Jesus, it was putting Jesus in the right position he needed to be in. Are you seeing this? So we can't be the ones that allow people to block us from seeing where we're supposed to be and allow ourselves to go to another. It's possible for you to be connected properly, but still can't go to that next level in the spirit realm because you still have baggage holding you from going to the next level. Here's why the Bible talks about train up a child in the way they should go. We think that's talking about discipline. We think that's talking about behaving right. Now, if you read right above that, it really starts talking about finances. It's talking about training up a child in the way they should go, meaning how to handle money. And in handling money, all the other stuff falls under. How to behave, how to be holy, how to be sanctified. Why? Because if God gonna give it to you, who you gonna leave it to? So if you not gonna train the child upright, God said, I'm not going to unloose it from the heathens to give it to you only for it to be tied back up to a heathen. Is this making sense? Last one. Finally, we will be those who share the same inheritance and the same harvest. Notice now, all those other things happen first. We have to choose covenant. We have to be ready to go to battle. We have to be ready to become a part of the strategy. We have to be willing to risk our lives. We have to be accountable with the authority that we're given. And we have to be able to, ready to lift those that leads us to another level of stature, which leads to sharing the same inheritance and harvest. Are you seeing this? Go to Matthew, the 25th chapter. We close here. It's a parable that Jesus was given. You all know the story, so we won't read it. I just wanted to read this one particular scripture. In the parable, the master came back after everything was done properly, and he said this. Unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. If you read that 21st verse and you take your time, you will see all those points in there. Choosing covenant. Lifting a person up to another stature. Are you seeing it in there? He said, thou hast been faithful over a few things. That's the authority with accountability. I'll make you ruler over many. That's sharing in the same inheritance and harvest. Are you seeing these things? See, I want you to begin to take these things to heart. Take them to heart. Study them. Pray in the Holy Spirit about them. Any adjustments that have to be made, let them be made. Now, when adjustments are made, people are going to fall off. Now, when adjustments are made, people are going to fall off. Don't be alarmed. Because those people are going to fall off because that's the baggage that was holding you back from going to another level in the supernatural. See, willing, choosing covenant. I'm willing to risk my life, put my agenda on the side. I want to lift my pastor up to another stature. Are you seeing this? Because when you begin to do those things, now you can share in the same inheritance and the same harvest. How many see what I'm saying? I want you to get these things in your spirit. Next week we have exams. So our exam is going to be on Chapter 13. You go ahead and read it. It's going to be open book. Chapter 13. our honorable men in the house. We're going to talk about, and then we're going to come back after the exam, we're going to talk about the senior pastor and his or her role. So we know how to relate. It's important that we understand how to relate, what we come and look for. Because sometimes people go to Burger King looking for a Big Mac. You're in the wrong place. It's not that the Big Mac don't exist. You're just in the wrong place. And what they're going to tell you at Burger King, we can't help you. You got to go to McDonald's. So we can't come to church looking for one thing when something else is being served, because then it ain't going to match. Making sense. So we'll talk about the functions of a senior pastor, and then I'm going to go over again the difference between the New Testament pastor and the 21st century pastor. We talked about it last week, but I'm going to do that again, because I want to make sure you understand, because a lot of times we go to church expecting one thing when we should be looking for something else that's going to take care of what we need to take care of. Are you seeing this? All righty, you all enjoy the rest of the night. I will see you all tomorrow. And our exam's on chapter what? 13. Internet, chapter 13. Y'all have a wonderful night. Thank you, sir.